The penultimate night of group stage action certainly didn't disappoint, with late drama across Europe. In Group C, it was another Anfield night to remember for Liverpool as they edged out Napoli in an enthralling encounter.
Salah wriggles away from a defender and looks to pull it across. Oh, and he's found the corner! It's brilliant! It's the Egyptian king, Mo Salah!
So Liverpool and Paris progressed from Group C at the expense of the Italian side. In Group B, Spurs left it late at the Nou Camp to steal second place in the group behind Barcelona.
This is Kane breaking forward at the moment, though. Kane, and it's forced home by Lucas Moura! Spurs have got an equaliser here!
Inter go into the UEFA Europa League after they could only draw 1-1 at home to PSV. And earlier in the day, Galatasaray also qualified for the Europa League, despite a dramatic home defeat to Porto.
Heart must be pounding. Hits the underside of the crossbar. The penalty is missed by Feghouli. It is still Galatasaray 2, Porto 3.
We'll bring you all the analysis and reaction from tonight's matchday 6 encounters, and you'll hear from Harry Kane and Jurgen Klopp. So stay with us right here on UEFA Champions League Matchday Live. Welcome to the show. I'm Chris Parrott, and alongside me is the European football expert, Kevin Hatchard. Three last 16 places were up for grab on Tuesday night. And right until the very last second, we pretty much had no idea who was going to get them. What an evening.
It was everything that we love about the UEFA Champions League, because we had tension, we had drama, we had joy for some, heartbreak for others. I have to give Tottenham immense credit, because at one stage in this group stage, they looked as though they had no chance of making it through. And every hurdle that's been put in front of them, they have cleared it. They managed to get a very nervy win against PSV, and then to overcome Inter in the way that they did, when they knew that failure to do so, and that was the end. And then to go to Barcelona, and I know it wasn't Barcelona's absolute first team, but there were still some quality players in that Barcelona team, and to recover from going a goal down and find a way to draw, I think that's an incredible effort. Liverpool's effort was slightly different. Obviously, they had the Anfield crowd behind them, but they had to play with this control that they found this season. They managed to do that. They managed to reduce Napoli to a handful of chances, and when Napoli's big moment arrived, we saw why you need an elite goalkeeper in the Champions League. Alisson with a world-class elite save, and it keeps Liverpool in the competition.
It was one of those great, nervy, tense Champions League evenings all over the continent. Let me run you through all of Tuesday's matchday 6 results. Group A, Club Brugge 0, Atletico 0, Monaco 0, Borussia Dortmund 2, enough for Dortmund to top the section ahead of Atletico. Group B, Barcelona 1, Tottenham 1, Inter 1, PSV 1, which means Spurs go through ahead of Inter alongside Barcelona. Group C, Liverpool 1, Napoli 0, and Svena Zvezda 1, Paris Saint-Germain 4. So Paris and Liverpool go through. And in Group D, Galatasaray 2, Porto 3, and Schalke 1, Lokomotiv Moskva 0. Do join us, by the way, on Wednesday night via UEFA.com and the official UEFA Champions League app. Full commentary of Real Madrid against Cesca, and Ajax against Bayern, plus live updates from Shakhtar against Lyon. And there'll be a separate podcast for Wednesday night's matches. But we'll start with that must-win match for Liverpool at Anfield as we look back on Tuesday's entertainment in the Champions League. And Adam Summerton describes the action from Anfield.
And now Salah gets it wide. Alexander-Arnold's ball in! And it's been ruled offside. It was Mane who turned it home. Salah wriggles away from a defender and looks to pull it across. Oh, and he's found the corner! It's brilliant! It's the Egyptian king, Mo Salah, who just stares into the eyes of the supporters behind the goal as if to say, look what I just did! And Liverpool have the goal they craved! And it's played through here to Salah, left-hand edge of the area, might have a go at goal, pulls it back, Mane! Oh, it's wide! What a chance to make it two for Liverpool. He had to score, but he didn't. Nobody's leaving this one early. Into the box it goes, and Liverpool have missed it. It's a brilliant save by Alisson. A safe. Goulam now with the ball into the box, and out comes Alisson again. Again, he gets a touch to it, it's in. But it's not going to count, the flag's up, it's not going to count. It's another one of those nights at Anfield. A brilliant last-ditch save from Alisson wins them the game. Oh, my goodness me.
We've given Adam a bit of a break. I hope he's got his voice back. You could hear there the drama in your voice. It was, I mean, absolutely on a knife edge right until the end. Liverpool yeah. doing enough, but one Napoli goal and they would have gone through and Liverpool would have gone out.
Well, I mean, you just look to what's made the difference. And the difference is two world-class players, isn't it? You know, Salah with that finish through the legs of Ospina to just sneak it into the corner. That's a, you know, a top-class goal from a top-class player. And then the difference maker at the other end is the goalkeeper. And, you know, everybody identified, didn't they, last season, that Liverpool, if they really wanted to be the absolute elite and win a competition like this, if they wanted to win the Premier League as well, they needed perhaps a better goalkeeper. Alisson was the man they identified. They played top whack in terms of money for him. And there is a quite clear reason why they did it.
Yeah, and so many people talk about, oh, Alisson's fantastic with his feet. He is, I know. But my word, in terms of a shot stopper, absolutely unbelievable. And perhaps at the other end, it was a moment of brilliance from Mo Salah. But might David Ospina be slightly disappointed with the Liverpool goal, if we're talking about how good Alisson's save was?
I think it's a series of errors, Chris. I think the first one is Mario Rui just isn't strong enough as Mo Salah backs into him. Salah gets away from him. Kalidou Koulibaly, who generally defended very well on the night, didn't react quickly enough. And then I think David Ospina, what he's done is he has assumed that Salah's going to try and cross it. What's actually happened is Salah's found the far corner. I think he's trying to anticipate and get a jump on it and maybe try and cut out the cross, and he got caught out. And it was just one of those moments where one error leads to another, but you still have to have the quality and the composure to make the most of the opportunity, and that's what Salah did.
I tell you, as they go back to Italy, one of the big regrets that Napoli will have, and there'll be a few, is that they didn't get Insigne in the game at all, because he's been probably their best player this season, and he was very quiet by his standards. And you know, that will be a regret. And you have to feel for Napoli because, you know, at times in the group stage, I think they've shown themselves to be a very, very good side. But they've just fallen at the last, really. And there will be a lot of analysis goes on because, you know, their supporters and their president, which is very important when it comes to Napoli, I think they really were almost banking on the fact that they were through to the last 16.
And they were talking about how big it would be in the section with Liverpool and Paris Saint-Germain. We always knew that one very, very good team was going to go out. Napoli, you know, with 9 points, can count themselves extremely unfortunate. It's the second time that they've gone out in recent memory. 2013, they went out when they had 12 points, which was unprecedented. But there will be regret and massive disappointment because they are a top side, Napoli, but they just couldn't quite break through Liverpool.
No, I think as well, you know, another player who, you know, Napoli fans have been having serious conversations about for a long time now is their captain, Marek Hamsik, who has been a wonderful player for them. Their all-time record goal scorer, their all-time appearance holder. I just wonder whether he's influencing games enough now in that central midfield, whether he's influencing it enough for a team that wants to be in the last 16 of the Champions. It's a hard conversation that's going to have to be had, I think, very soon in Naples about Hamsik, because he's absolutely rightly regarded as a club legend. But I just thought that was another area tonight where maybe Liverpool got the better of Napoli. And let's be honest, yes, Liverpool have squeaked through in the end. They needed a late save. They should have won that by a lot more than they did. They should have, they've missed a plethora of chances in that second half in particular.
If we're talking about club legends, Virgil van Dijk may well be on his way to being a Liverpool one, which is something considering all of their history and how a short space of time he has been at Anfield. But let's hear from him now, Virgil van Dijk, speaking after Liverpool made it through to the last 16.
In the end, it was pretty tough, yeah. But we totally deserved the win. We should have scored a couple more goals. Obviously, in the end, and you know, the save is massive for us from Alisson, and that's what he is. That's why he's there. No, he's fantastic and helps us through it. Could have played a lot better in the Champions League this season, but hopefully from now on we hit second gear.
Van Dijk in the pre-match press conference was happy to talk about Liverpool winning the competition, which, given how much of an effort they've had to get through this tough section. Was quite bold, given that they could have gone out at Anfield. Where do you assess their chances, Kevin? How different are they to last season?
They are different, because if you look at the home wins against Manchester City and Roma in the knockouts, it was, you know, this incredible high-octane football. It was all a bit chaotic, but Liverpool blew teams away. Play with control in this game. I think the worry for Jurgen Klopp is that they've been poor away from home. Arguably, their three worst performances of the entire season have been the away games in the UEFA Champions League. So he will have to go back to the drawing board to some extent and have a look at that. In terms of Van Dijk, what was so impressive about him was that he picked up an early yellow card, and you thought, is he going to have to modify things? Is he going to have to change? He didn't. He just anticipated. He read the game exceptionally well. Yes, Liverpool gave up a couple of big chances, but in general, thought him and Joel Matip actually played really well. And I think Matip has just underlined his value to the squad as well.
Well, let's hear from Jurgen Klopp now. He was a very happy man at full time.
I really think over the full 96-7 minutes, how long it ever was, we were 100% the better team. We were 100% deserved to go in the next round. The boys played in game. I didn't see it a lot, to be honest. It was a nice reminder how we can play football as well. And I'm absolutely proud on the boys.
So Liverpool through just about, also through from the section. Paris Saint-Germain, who also won the group with a 4-1 win away at Svena Zvezda. Cavani, Neymar and Mbappe all on the score sheet. Very impressive from Paris Saint-Germain to come back, because remember, at the midway point of this group, everyone thought they might be heading out. But they go through as group winners, Liverpool in second and Napoli into the Europa League. To Group B next, where Tottenham travel to the Nou Camp, needing to match or better Inter's result against PSV to seal second spot behind Barcelona. Dan Roebuck, watch this one.
Barcelona look to come forward once again. Here's an opportunity for Dembele! Fantastic finish! Barcelona have the advantage inside the opening 7 minutes. Mistakes at the back for Tottenham, and they have been punished here. Coutinho moving forward inside the area, hits the outside of the post. Sissoko, right-hand side, Moura waits. Kane wants it, curled in here towards Miller. Moura with a header! What a save from Sillison! How on earth did he keep that one out? Moura wins it back, drives towards goal, and it's wide of the target. This is Kane breaking forward at the moment, though. Kane, and it's forced home by Lucas Moura! Spurs have got an equaliser here. Kane broke free on the left-hand side. The Brazilian inside the penalty area from 7 yards or so just smashes it beyond Sillison. He was denied previously by the Barcelona keeper, but not now. We're all square.
And that goal was enough to see Tottenham go through, because Inter were held to a 1-1 draw by PSV at San Siro. It was unbelievably tense at the end in both of those games in Group B. Let's hear from two of Tottenham Hotspur's heroes. First of all, Hugo Lloris, and then Harry Kane.
We had to play for the 3 points and for the win, and try to not concede a goal, no? So it was difficult to manage, but I think that the spirit was fantastic today, and I think it's well deserved for the team.
Yeah, no, it's difficult away from home in the Champions League. Is always tough, no matter. At Barcelona. So I thought we responded well. Yeah, and we just played. You know, we played our football. We knew we was going to get chances, and it was just a matter of taking them. We left it until late, but we was creating chances all night. Of course, they had a couple of chances on the counter attack, but we had to go for the win. So, like I say, thankfully, PSV got a draw for us, and a draw away to Barcelona is not a bad result.
Well, Dan Roebuck joins us now. That was a great moment on the pitch at the end. Tottenham's game finished about 10 seconds before Inter's did, and they're all hanging around to hear what had happened, and then that had that wonderful roar, if you're a Spurs fan, from the couple of thousand fans high up in the Camp Nou. And to their great credit, they got the point, which in the end was enough. And did they deserve that, or even more, perhaps?
I think they should have won, really. I mean, it was relief at the end, I think, for Tottenham. We mentioned at the start of the game all the changes for Barcelona. Only three survivors from the La Liga success over Espanyol. Yes, Tottenham have got their own injury concerns, and Kyle Walker-Peters, making his full Champions League debut in this game, looked very nervous early on. It was his mistake, of course, that led to the Barcelona goal. But Spurs had so many opportunities. 17 attempts all told. 12 in the second half when they really did turn it on. And, OK, it's PSV that has ultimately helped them by snatching a point off Inter. But if Spurs hadn't have gone through tonight, given the way that they played, the chances they created, and the team that Barcelona put out, and not just the team, but you did sense a bit of complacency with Barcelona. Leo Messi came on in the second half and was a complete non-factor. He may well have not been on the pitch, really. And how often do you say that about Messi? He had one run and one through ball towards Coutinho. But really, if Spurs had have gone out tonight, they would have been feeling very low about themselves.
Dan, this is a Tottenham team that's learning together, it's growing together, and this will be a hugely beneficial experience for them to have gone to a place like Barcelona and got the result that they needed. Gives them such momentum going into the knockout phase.
It does indeed, and I heard you speak about, you know, the way that they got to this point in UEFA Champions League this season. They had an awful start to their campaign, and they have really dug deep against PSV, very late goals, against Inter at home with Christian Eriksen's goal 10 minutes from time, and here they left it late. Moura with, what, 4 or 5 minutes left on the clock for the equaliser. So they are learning all the time. Yes, they made it through to the knockout stages last season. They were knocked out in the group stages the year before that. It takes a little bit of time before you get your UEFA Champions League's legs, and I think they're getting there. I think there's still, with Mauricio Pochettino's size, what to do with his striking play. Lucas Moura and Eric Lamela, I thought, came on and made a big, big difference. Son can run the channels. He gets opportunities. Does he take as many chances as he should do? Maybe not. Even Dele Alli was a little quiet as well. I thought when Lamela and Moura, two players who've got experience, Moura in particular, got a lot of Champions League experience, as we know, I thought they made a difference. And I think that maybe Pochettino has got to work out what he wants to do in European football. Does he go with that Premier League cut and thrust that he knows works with Kane and Son and Ali and Eriksen, or has he got to get some players with a little bit more now, so a little bit more European experience in with the likes of Lamela and Moura? That's for him to decide, and it's going to be fascinating to find out, because they are learning, you're right, they are building. Whether they can go all the way, it's unlikely, because they've still got deficiencies at the back. They only drew tonight against a mix and match Barcelona side, but yeah, they're going to be an interesting team to watch in the knockout stages, as we know.
And Tottenham will hope that they don't run into a Juventus when the draw takes place next week like they did in the last 16. We have to bring in Inter and PSV into this conversation, because had Inter won that game, Tottenham would be in the Europa League, but they didn't. Erving Lozano's goal put PSV ahead after 13 minutes. It really was incessant Inter pressure after that. Mauro Icardi, who else? Captain, leader, got them level on 73 minutes, and you just thought that they were going to get another Kevin Hatchard in the next 17 minutes, but they couldn't, they didn't, and their disappointment at the end was as much as Napoli's at Anfield. They looked absolutely distraught not to have made it through.
This will sting for a long time. Luciano Spalletti, the coach, called it the biggest game of his tenure as Inter boss. They were so proud to have returned to the Champions League, and they've not made the most of their opportunity. They built themselves a platform. It was there for them. They'd avoided defeat at Wembley against Spurs. They would have been there. If they got the win tonight, they would have been there. But in the end, that little lack of experience has cost them. I have to give immense credit to PSV. Mark van Bommel, who's a former Milan midfielder, so it'll taste a bit sweet for him, I suspect. He talked about motivation before the game, and he said, look, even though we haven't got anything material to play for, you have to find it in yourself to have that motivation. His players did exactly that, and that's a performance they can be proud of.
You know what, PSV finished with 2 points. I think that is pretty unlucky in that section. They were competitive in pretty much every game. They will hope to be back in the group stage and hope to improve on that next campaign. So this is how Group B finished. Barcelona top, 14 points, group winners. Tottenham ahead of Inter on head-to-head, and only just on head-to-head, both of 8 points. PSV with two, bottom of the section. Right, to Group A, Kevin, quickly on this one. Club Brugge 0, Atletico 0, and Monaco 0, Borussia Dortmund 2. Enough for Dortmund to top the section.
It's turning into just the most amazing season for Borussia Dortmund. And this was a team that didn't have Jadon Sancho in it, didn't have Marco Reus in it, and yet they went to Monaco, admittedly against a largely young and untested Monaco team, and they won 2-0, a couple of goals from Rafael Guerrero, both very well created. and they've taken advantage of what was a very good Club Brugge performance to hold Atletico Madrid to a goalless draw. So, you know, Dortmund will feel over the piece, having hammered Atletico 4-0 in Germany. They will feel they were the best team in the section.
I think it's fair to say Atletico will be the runners-up that everybody wants to avoid.
Yes.
in next week's draw in Neon. Right, to Group D now. Early in the day, these were the early kickoffs. Galatasaray hosted the already qualified Porto, hoping to seal third spot and a place in the UEFA Europa League. Commentary from Steve Wilson.
Curled in, great header, 1-0 Porto. Brilliant ball in and nodded into the back of the net by Felipe. Could be five in five back-to-back Champions League games here for Musa Marega. Facing Muslera, he scores. Fagulli has not scored this season. He has now. Galatasaray 1, FC Porto 2. It's a chance here as Hanani advances and it's into the back of the net from Sergio Oliveira. Galatasaray 1, FC Porto 3. Gary Rodriguez now right-hand side. Dadiop scores! And it all changes again. Fagulli, huge intake of breath. Heart must be pounding. Hits the underside of the crossbar. They claim it's crossed the line, but the penalty is missed by Fagulli. It is still Galatasaray 2, Porto 3. My goodness me, you can't take your eyes off this game.
Well, as Steve said there, it was an unbelievable game in Istanbul, and if ever you need to know how much Galatasaray wanted a place in the UEFA Europa League, you only needed to see them in that second half. They went through because Schalke beat Lokomotiv Moskva by 1-0 with a very late performance. The Galatasaray in the knockout stages of the Europa League. But Porto, 16 points, Kevin Hatchard. One of the form teams in the group stage. Very quietly, I think, going about their business. But they're going to be a very difficult side to face.
Yeah, they've done a terrific job. Sergio Conceição, their coach, has found great consistency domestically, but also in this competition. We looked right at the start of the section whether they'd score enough goals, because there was the injury to Vincent Aboubakar, and we thought, well, where are those goals going to come from? They got 15 over the course of the six games, and I think that's a terrific effort. Last season they ran into a rampant Liverpool. They will hope that the draw is kind to them, and they of course have won the section, so you know they will feel they can give any team a bit of trouble over the two legs. I thought it was an important win for Schalke as well, simply because any win is big for them at the moment, because domestically they've struggled so badly.
So this is how our Group D is finished up. Porto with 16 points, then come Schalke with 11, Galatasaray through with only 4 points, Lokomotiv Moskva with 3 points. So that is it for another fantastic evening of group stage action in the Champions League. A wonderful penultimate night in the group stage. Paris, Liverpool and Tottenham through. Bad luck for Napoli and Inter. Dortmund top their section. Join us again from 1800 CT on Wednesday via UEFA.com and the UEFA Champions League app. Full commentary of Real Madrid against CSKA and then Ajax against Bayern. But for now, from me, Chris Parrott, and the whole Matchday Live team, it is a very good night.
Fagulli, huge intake of breath. Heart must be pounding. Hits the underside of the crossbar. They claim it's crossed the line, but the penalty is missed by Fagulli. It is still Galatasaray 2, Porto 3.
This is Kane breaking forward at the moment, though. Kane, and it's forced home by Lucas Moura. Spurs have got an equaliser here. Kane broke free on the left-hand side. The Brazilian inside the penalty area from 7 yards or so just smashes it beyond Cillessen. He was denied previously by the Barcelona keeper, but not now. We're all square.
Salah wriggles away from a defender and looks to pull it across. Oh, and he's found the corner. It's brilliant. It's the Egyptian king, Mo Salah, who just stares into the eyes of the supporters behind the goal, as if to say, look what I just did. And Liverpool have the goal they craved. And it's Liverpool 1, Napoli 0.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.